No.
Yeah,
God, don't start me off on that fucking bullshit episode they did. I raged through that. I was like,
no,
the only good
Mork,
bit of this is
Mork,
going to be when he dies.
Mork, this is your time to shine.
Is it?
Is it? That's your answer. It's your answer, right? Is it? Go on, Dalek, talk.
I was just laughing at your reaction to the episode because it was god awful on really many levels. It was just one giant mess. Just kept going.
I cannot clap loud enough. It's just the moment they said that it was like it's his 13th life, he can't regenerate again. I was just, we all know he's gonna regenerate, so stop with the fucking bullshit, man. There's no point saying, oh, he can never regenerate again. Alright. Yo, what happens at the end of the episode, dickhead? Not only does he regenerate, but he becomes fucking supernova, takes out a Dalek warship in the process. I don't remember that being part of the regeneration process.
I think he takes a bit more than half the Dalek warship. I think he takes out pretty much every ship surrounding the whole area.
I just didn't, because I just like had a proper nerd melt. Like, you're going to be about that.
I mean, I liked the sort of premise, the sort of idea of the theme that they're trying to get of, that he might be then on his final regeneration. Then, if you didn't know about that, he has another one coming. If you didn't know that, then it might be interesting more. I like the theme, but they screwed the writing up so badly, and unfortunately, we knew in hindsight, oh, of course he's going to survive this.
Well, exactly. That's my entire fucking point.
Yeah.
What's the point in dangling this character he can't re-fucking generate again? I was like, just fuck off, will you? Because it's just bullshit. Because he is going to regenerate. There was no ifs, buts, and maybes. It was like, ooh, it's the 13th time he can't re... Yeah, we know he's not supposed to be able to do it again.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I was
oh,
just
destroying
busy.
everything, are you? I
Busy
can hear you now,
ranting.
yes.
No, it was... Ah, Doctor! You will die! Anyway, I'm just going to be quiet because it was just a massive turd of shit given to some young actor who can't fucking act. And the only highlight of that episode was watching him die, and he didn't even get fucking shot. So I was robbed of that. I wasted an hour of my fucking life. I just wanted to show up on the last scene and beat him with a fucking spade. You know, it was just... It was just all levels of wrong. Since when does regeneration take out fucking warships for a start? That's the big, you know...
Lord knows what the next regeneration would do.
That's the fucking next big bang, isn't it? To carry on like this.
He's already done that. Not with a regeneration, but he's already already restarted the big bang. I actually wonder what else they can do now.
Whatever, man.
They'll find a way.
Rage. Just rage quit. I really like Doctor Who. That's why it pisses me off so much. Because he's supposed to be a man of reason and logic, and yet regenerating blows up warships. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Anyway, back to fluff.
Well, I could talk about my latest sort of skating project of making my own Time Lord skating, but no, I'm joking.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It's got to be more plausible than them pricks, and they'll just rewrite everything that they don't agree with.
Nah, if anything, I'll just make some sort of reference in the silly extreme skating paintball MK2 sort of a game. Sort of just that, sort of going, oh, with us is Dr. What What. He is not a master moulder, he is the master.
I might have to play that at the end of this, find out that drum song. Hey, baby.
Oh, you should try and see if you can get that mixed in with the Scamblight radio theme as well. Get the sort of bell tone at the start and everything. lead on through that. That'll be brilliant. but yeah, back to Fluff. We're going so much off topic here. Isn't it fun?
Yeah, sure. He likes the topic. You're the only one talking now, Chris. It's like you've been abandoned. Mark, say something.
I haven't had anything to say yet.
But you just did say something.
Did I?
Well, at least you're alive.
Am I? Can you prove
that? Is this the real life?
No.
Is this just fantasy?
Yes.
No, it's Warhammer fantasy. Do 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 do.
Oh, don't get me inspired now. I might end up writing a bloody version or something.
Well, Silas already wants you to write up all the ideas we gave him for everything. He's like, maybe I'll do something, or maybe I'll just get Ratty to do everything.
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah, he was like moaning about how people don't sign up to stuff, and he's like, well, you should do this and this. And he's like, maybe I'll do that, or maybe Ratty will.
You should see the piles of stuff. Oh, it's just, it's painful going through all of the really old, not that I sort of have anything against those people back in the past, the old Under Empire campaigns, because there's some brilliant stuff for her stories and that are more or less lost in the mist of time. It's just trying to find probably the links to every single one of them, fix it, especially when they don't really link very well and they just go, oh yeah, part one. And then on the thing, it isn't labelled part one, it's labelled a whole different title. Stuff like that. It's horrible, because I'm all fixing all the links in the campaign story list. For any listeners who don't even know that thing probably even exists. But all the complete novels, though, and stories now are all finished now. I think they're more or less all... Yeah, they all are fixed, every one of them. That almost killed me, that dude. Ooh, first world problems.
Yeah, well... Your efforts are not unnoticed. You deserve the highest recommendations. You know, try it. It's. I mean, I've bitched about dead links in the Under Empire for years. So to know someone's actually on the case is enough for me. It's been long enough.
Slowly and surely, of course. But yeah, I'm not getting paid for this.
stop saying that. You sound like Silas. He's like, oh, I'm paying.
Oh, God. How much? How many times did he say that?
I know, about a dozen in 5 seconds. He just needs a new laptop so he can actually... He bought a ROM 2 and his PC can't play it. So he's like, I've got a girlfriend. She's got a laptop that can play ROM 2. I'm sorted. I was like, well, you better not break up with her. Then you can't play ROM again.
I'll just try and keep some order and try and get the Fluff section working again. That's all I do.
Well, it sounds like an hard job from the sounds of it, because if every time they change the servers it breaks all the links, then yeah, that sounds pretty...
Well, I think the last... I can't remember... Well, you both were actually around the last time it did change from Envision 3.
Yeah, I remember Envision servers. Back in the day, when I was a young rat.
I'm still but a younglin. Ooh.
Before I had my first breeder.
That and the hornbine, we haven't got Silas with us.
That's staying in this. When I splice this all together.
Oh, great, he's going to kill me.
He doesn't listen to them, apparently, so...
Oh.
He went to me earlier. Sod. Well, actually, I don't listen to them, so you could say whatever you want. So I think there might be some serious Silas abuse from now on, just to see if he does actually decide to listen to some.
Well, I listen to them, so don't say any nasty things about me. Well, feel free to, actually. I don't really...
Have you any feedback, then, to actually listen to the show?
It's a good show. Enjoy it.
Yeah, you enjoy his cackling and laughing and arguing about stuff.
Yeah, and the little sort of references, the yo-ho-ho, let's be a pirate and all that.
Yeah, you watched that one, did you? All right, that's pirate.
Yes, I know, I know.
Yeah, that one cracked me up. And I was like, well, if you're pushing Bota, let's just put video on. And Chris went, all right, then send me a link.
At least, we can see the Under Empire is still trying to move a bit forward with the times anyway, though. I mean, we've got the Skating Block Bazaar finally. Took its time.
Yeah, just like 2-3 years out of date.
Yes. Well, it's better than a poke in the eye.
The thing is, the number of people that would have come to the Under Empire to sell the Skaven when 8th edition came out.
Yeah.
It would have been a phenomenal number of people.
Well, who knows? Well, that's just in the past, though, so we just have to get on with it, really.
It's in the now, because it's still selling.
Well, in the now, well, we've got it now, though, so...
But at least we've got... Do other forums know that we do trading now, though? Because a lot of them will be like, well, the Under Empire doesn't do trade.
Oh, they're saying that. I'll get Silas on to look into that.
You should have someone go around to all the other forums and just go, hey, we've got a trade section now, you know?
Kind of spammy. It used to be more or less Vince's job, I think, really, because he'd always advertise the Skaven Bright Gazette and more or less go on every forum. Or we're going to get these brilliant things like the Skaven Bright Gazette. I mean, those were brilliant. I'd always sort of wait for the time when they'd come out with sort of bated breath. And sort of read lovingly through all the articles and all that. And I really, really need to go into sort of selling myself out to the advertising lot.
What we really need to do is organise a collaboration. Get the forum to do a forum campaign that's fluff-based, that's turn-based. Get it supported by the Gazette. You can get coverage on the podcast. And we can just release everything. And
you know what? Tell Silas that all of those ideas. He's the one who wants to put that all into effect.
Well, you know what? He'll just say that he'll get you to do it.
Yeah, that's basically what will happen anyway. But he'll at least get to sort of try and prod me and go, I've had this clever idea.
Yeah. In brackets, Skaven Dan. But yeah, we should definitely get... I mean, we've got all the resources you could possibly need, right? I've got access to an unlimited web server. So if you wanted to do a turn-based map game, it can be hosted under the Skaven Bright Radio, through the Under Empire, promoted through the Gazette and the radio, and then all we need to do is start spamming places for volunteers. Because we don't push the radio, and that's what really surprises me. We get like 100-odd downloads from different people. And we've only posted it on the Under Empire. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty good going.
I'm sure Silas will sort of feel free to sort of give you a sort of full coverage on anything if he hasn't already in the earlier discussion you had.
Would he? I think you already know the answer to this question.
Oh, dear. Well, maybe you just go on the Animosity campaign. He's got that in his SIG in that.
Has he?
Yeah. Talking about an advertisement for the next Underdark. Then again, he's had that for about 2 years.
Yeah, you need to have an organised prompt, you know, get on with things, do it.
Basically, you mean him prodding me to do everything.
Well, I am available.
Nah, it's not that bad, but...
If you should become desperate, I can do audio propaganda for you.
Yeah. I mean, your idea would be very good if that good will work out. Well, yes.
Well, I did suggest that if he wanted, if it was necessary, we could record like live sessions, because you know how you play a lot of role play. You could do like a live role play. And then people might be more interested. Because if you can listen to previous sessions, then you know what's expected and what happens. And then it's easier to get involved.
Mm.
But
I think this is actually something more Mort can talk really more about. He's more the roleplay king than I am.
Me?
Oh, yes. How many things have you bloody GM'd in? Game mastered, anyway. A ruddy lot. I believe it's why your roleplay is that actually got me onto the forum anyway in the first place, so...
Really?
Scuttlepub days, you remember that?
Oh, yes. The Scuttlepub.
Yeah.
Apparently it's classified information, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. I mean... Helping out me, sorry.
Well, that's what you get for being over the pond like that.
I mean, like I was... I don't remember if I said this or if it was just in my head. Role-playing is kind of, can be like a gateway to fluff. So, I think the... If you can actually get people to listen to a live RP session, which is a task in and of itself, it would probably encourage a lot more thinking about it. Because role-playing is really, to me at least, it's communal story. Telling, and so it's a way to like ease yourself into actually writing stuff because you're writing with other people who are helping and supporting you, and then eventually that will build up your confidence to maybe be able to feel like you can write something on your own and put it out there. I know from talking to a lot of people, confidence is one of the big problems people have with writing. Is I write something that will hide it away because I don't want the world to see it, but if you have the opportunity to develop the skills associated with writing through role-playing in a supportive environment, and likely get you to be more comfortable actually putting your work out there to be read, and in that way would revitalize the fluff section. So I think the two sections are very closely intertwined, and if you promote one, there's a good chance you'll promote the other one. And I think the RP section actually focusing on promoting that one would help both sections more than focusing exclusively on the fluff section. But, again, the real problem is both forms are at the bottom of the page. And once you hit the painting section, who wants to keep scrolling?
It's true. There's some really nice stuff in the painting section. Kudos to the moderators in that area. Done really nice, sterling work. Yeah,
oh.
I completely agree anyway, though, with your
mock. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the main thing I've said, and I'll say it again just for repetition's sake, probably going to the podcast twice, is if you do the absolute idiot's guide to doing something, you will get more uptake, because people don't want to make an ass out of themselves with the first endeavour. And you have to do like, this is a bad example, this is a good example, this is, you know, do X, Y, and Z, and we will help you with X, Y, and Z more. And you have to lay that foundation. It's like I've done Animosity, and I've only done Animosity because Silas bugs me to do it. But on there...
He's bugged us all to do it.
Yep.
But on,
and every time I get in, I drop out shortly afterwards.
Well, I get no support whatsoever. I get told to do X, Y, and Z. I start doing it, and then I get no fucking response. And I start going to Silas. Well, you told me to do this. And he goes, well, they should have responded. And then he messages someone else, and they say, oh, well, they should have responded. And I was like, well, shoulda, woulda, coulda. They've not responded. I'm not familiar with this game. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'll just go and sign them both things up.
And it just becomes this catalyst of people not giving a shit. So,
I know Roddy's heard of it. I don't know how familiar you are with Mulder Pit Fighters, but we've back when I ran it, 2-3 years ago, we had a whole system for actually getting people adjusted into the game where you could be asked to be assigned a mentor and everything, and you'd go into this little special area until you'd learned all the rules of the game, and you could get advice from more experienced players, and then once you were deemed ready, you'd be released into the real game. So it's like this closed environment for you to learn the rules first.
Well, that's what you need. If you want to revive the fluff section and keep it alive, that's what you need. You need the guide, the system.
There is actually a guide, though it's pretty hidden anyway in itself, There's a Guide on the Skaven roleplay written by Scriv on Guide to Making Your RPG a Success, as well as players for how to get yourself into the game. Unfortunately, even though it's pinned, it's a little bit hidden where it is. And also, I believe, Ewanwalk has also done one in the fan fiction and fluff section.
I forgot I'd written that. Yeah,
which
but that's not
pretty
very...
much probably needs a bit of better retitling, in my opinion, because it sounds a little bit, oh, fiction rules and guidelines, which,
yeah,
it's still got the rules, but I believe you also do give a little bit of sort of encouragement in there as well, still.
That's actually, when I have time, I'll go and edit and add on to that post, actually.
Oh, please do.
Oh. That's what you need to do to keep this thing alive. You need to keep it fresh and make sure... It's not so much the contents, it's the word. The speak and the way it's done. Because, as generations change, things change. And you have to make sure that it's still applicable. And that this is the thing. I mean, like I've said in the earlier thing, that I've started a blog for coders to help people learn how to code. Not because... that there isn't information out there that helps people learn how to code. It's that they all expect you to already be a nerd.
No.
And that people just don't understand. So they skip basic fundamentals because they think they are fundamentals. And then because they're skipping that, their entire guide becomes a useless pile of shit. Because if you can't master the first couple of stages, you're not going to stick with the guide, are you? You're going to go, well, this don't work. And you just drop it. So... You have to encompass everything from a complete noob's perspective.
That's true.
And if you can do that, if you can teach your mother to suck eggs, then you can teach anyone. And it's that kind of premise. You can't skip things. And I think sometimes some roleplay people get sucked up into this. Because, like I said, it is buried at the bottom of the forum. And it's not that I don't see it. It's that when I read things on it, I don't know how I really should respond. And I think if we got something going where we had like an interactive game, even if it was a turn-based, territory-based game, whatever, we can put it behind whatever website we want. You've got the Under Empire, we've got the radio, and you could have fluff behind it, and someone could score the victory points and turns and everything. Because that's got to be the biggest thing for me. I was never really big on fluff and roleplay, but I got into castles pretty easily. And that's all, it's turn-based strategy. But you've got to give fluff with every command. There was that need to add that little bit more. And as things became closer, people added more fluff, and it really became a full-fledged story because people started flushing things out because they wanted to win the close combats. And it just became that bit more interesting. I mean, I could be talking mad shit compared to you guys now. I don't really know at what point you draw the line with your fluff, but... It just added another level of complexity, which made the game more interesting.
I mean, that's kind of what Roddy's doing with the paintball game. You don't even have to worry about rules. All you have to do is post an action and a little bit of fluff with it, and then Roddy takes it down on the rest.
You don't have to put any fluff really in it, really, even if you didn't want to. But yeah, it adds a bit of flavour. It's the whole harkening back to the whole Blood Bowl sort of... thing, really, that, lest we forget that.
Might be interesting to actually, I mean, I hadn't really actually thought of, I guess I'd fallen into the whole assuming everyone knew basic role-playing concepts thing, because I never thought about completely if having to explain that from scratch, because I've been so involved with it for so long. Might be interesting, if possible, to like put up a like training, like some mild training RPGs get a little bit of attention, sort of like a graphical Arena of Death, where you have this simple character based on simple Warhammer, Mordheim rules, maybe, with equipment, and you just wander around the city trying to kill all the other players.
That
just a very simple thing like that.
Why do you think I set up Extreme Skaven Paintball?
That's true.
That's actually more or less was an almost a partial attempt actually to do that, to try and get a little bit more interest anyway, more or less trying to sort of fill a bit of a void, to maybe try and get a little bit more of a simple, easy gun. But yeah, we do need maybe something a little bit more sort of more invigorating for people. Yeah.
Has the game has gone on, the fluff has been pushed aside. The role play has been pushed aside. It's no longer about that, and you only have to look at like the third edition book to the eighth edition book to see that. I mean, even I should be well versed in fluff and stuff like that, but we just never did it as a group, so it's never been a thing for me. So I can see it from their point of view, because it's even less present in eighth edition. It's not even that angle anymore. It's just, it's war, it's you versus them, kill them. It's an army game. It's not groups of people versus groups of people. It's full-on global conquest. That's how I'd see it. And you've got to reintroduce that element of roleplay for people to understand. So unless you can go, here's a PDF, read this, then it is, you have to lay down the foundations of the rules and the game from scratch, as though they don't understand their ass from their elbow. Because if you don't, then you're not going to get the support, because you need that idiot-proof level to then make it widely available to everyone, to then draw in more and more people. And not only that, you need to promote it on other forums and everything else. You can't just rely on Skaven Forum, because if people are really interested in roleplay, then they are really interested in roleplay. They don't care what forum you're on. They'll come to this Skaven Forum just to represent humanity or high elves or undead. You know, it'll be one of them things. You have to look at it from all those little different angles.
Sorry, I'm a little bit distracted right now. Well, I've got a member just on the Under Empire just PMing me about understanding bits and his profile. Sorry. the work never ends.
He doesn't even understand his profile, man. How can you expect him to understand the roleplay section?
That is true. Yes, it is.
You need an idiot's guide. Everything he asks you should go in an FAQ. Should go in the global Under Empire FAQ questions and answers, and then you can just refer him to that.
How many days after the updated form are we going to be releasing this FAQ?
But you just release it every time someone asks a question. You just update it, man. It's a work in progress. Rome wasn't built in a day.
I think we've generally got a pretty basic anyway. Yeah, we even actually got a topic called the Under Empire FAQ.
Well then, update it.
Oh, it does actually. What was the last? Well, I don't know. Last post was 2013 by Lauren. What was that over? Then again, it's pretty much, well, it's still sort of a bit better. Everything's buried really on the forum. We've tried to sort of get rid of sort of some of the sort of really sort of dead areas of the forum, like the old clan sections. We didn't get rid of them, but more moving them a bit aside because interest has been dropping with that. But there's a lot of stuff still, it sort of still gets buried here and there with it all. So yeah, there was at least a few. Oh, even you posted several times in there, Dan.
Well, that's because I have at times, in my epic frustration, told Silas that I think that the FAQ is fucking ancient. I mean, the original post is 2008. Alright, that is what needs updating. It's the original post that should be updated. You know, to keep it fresh, and then you delete the replies. And then when people make new replies, you add that to the FAQ and you delete the replies. It's an unfinished, never-ending work in progress, the FAQ, because it is an FAQ, and you can never predict what people are going to ask. And it's just like anything else, like a user guide. It needs to be idiot-proof.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi!
You alright?
Very nice to talk to you.
So, do you have any books that you like? Have you got any preferred story material?
Well, I have read almost every single Skaven fluff except the C.L. Warner's, I think it was Deadwinter with the Pestilence Monks.
Right. CL is it Warner, is that what he's put? I'll be calling him CL Wiener, and CL was telling me off.
Oh my god.
Because I was reading Gracie. I got about to page 100, and I just thought, this is just like all the other Gracie books with Thankwell in. And there comes a point where it's just too samey for me. But then I noticed something. I was talking to the other guys, and I noticed that a lot of the old fluff that I like is written by Dan Abnett, not by other people. So I'm going to sling in a few blogs and stuff from the different writers, so people have got the links for them. But he mostly does 40K now, so that's a bit disappointing, personally. But, you know, what can you do?
That's how I felt when they changed the Slayer author from William King to Nathan Long. I think it was the second writer. And then they changed him, but I liked what they did with the each transition because every writer had a really good handle on the characters.
Mm. So, have you got a favorite book?
Oh, that's a difficult one. They're all so good. I think my favorite Skaven Fluff book so far was the first Thankwell book, Gracier, because I don't know, you don't get a lot of fluff about the Skaven like you want, and it was like the first time we really had a book dedicated to seeing more of like Skaven culture and Skaven mannerisms, so that was really interesting and funny to read.
That you're referring to the one by C.L. Werner?
Yes.
That I've just said that I don't like.
No, it's alright, I understand. I don't think it's anything to do with him, really, because he is a really good writer, but he did mention once that, like, Black Library has a very specific formula they like to follow, so a lot of the writers have to write to that standard, or, you know, I guess, like any publisher, the Black Library might not like it.
Ah, right. That might explain why Dan Abnett moved from doing Skaven to doing other things.
Yeah.
Because they'll have probably gone, we want you to do it like this. Because in our corporate wisdom, we think this will be awesome. You know.
Yeah. But he made a, I think it was either in his form or our form on the UE, where it was like, he mentioned he just wanted to do a book with nothing but Skaven characters, but he was told by the publishers he had to incorporate human characters to make it more relatable.
Is that why? You see, to me, one of the defining things that I love about Skaven more than the other races is I can relate more to Skaven than I can to all the others, because no one's a whiter than white eye elf and all this rubbish.
Yeah.
And the humans are all dumb. Really dumb in some of the stories. You know, it's just like, oh, dude, you would not do that. And the Skaven are the only ones that strike me as plausible, because you've got all these different little groups, and they're all like, yeah, you can trust me, turn around. You know?
Yeah, that's them.
You know? What do you mean, why am I sharpening this knife? It's just that mentality that I think really gels, because all the races are so stereotyped. But Skaven are so just mad. It's like humanity rolled up into one race, because they just do whatever's necessary and whatever they want.
Yeah, especially for themselves. It's not about anybody else unless you're getting credit or rewarded for something.
Yeah, yeah. I might have to finish Gracie and Knife said that. I might have to pick it back up. I might start from the beginning and just force myself to read it all, and we could do a review of it, couldn't we?
Yeah, or you can have Vermintide was really good too, but that one's like really dark.
Ooh, I like dark.
Yeah, it's like, I read it when I was in 7th grade, because I was that kid, and I finished it, and I had like this whole day of just, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, because I was just so blown away by how crazy it was.
Who wrote Vermintide, do you know?
Yeah, I think it's C.L. Werner, but he went under a different name.
All right. That's on the Black Library, then, is it, that one?
Yeah, I think it's one of the, I think it's one of the older books. Not too old, but it's been around longer than, you know, any of the new stuff that's been coming out.
Yeah, 2006, Vermintide. Oh, I recognize the cover.
Yeah, that one's really grim dark, but it's really good story wise.
Excellent. Well, I might read that then and give him a bit more credit if it's him under a different name, because yeah, I don't like samey characters, you know, because people as individual, you might have morals and standards, but you're not samey.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that you're. I get this feeling with Fanko that he's just going through the motions and it's always going to end the same. Whereas. But I suppose if they're telling them to write it a certain way, then that makes sense why they're all starting to get this feel of similarity going.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Vermintide's out of stock.
I think you can get it at, like, really good price on Amazon or eBay, because that's where I usually get all my out-of-print Skaven books.
Yeah.
Like, I got a really good Children of the Horned Rat book off of eBay.
Oh, man, that's like gold dust, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like... It was like $80.
Seriously?
Yeah, because it's that hard to find, I guess, now.
Damn, that's kind of insanely expensive. I'm wondering, in fact, where I've put all my books. So I've got quite a few digital copies through Amazon that I back up because I'm paranoid.
Yeah.
As you do when you're Skaven. I'll have to look to that later. Anyway, we're drifting off topic.
That's so, all right.
Yeah, Vermintide and Gracia. I'll probably get Gracia another pop if you think that's a good one. So do you recommend any others? Everyone goes on about Uniforms and Heralds. Have you read that one?
I do have it. I have it right next to me, actually.
Ah, see, you are organized.
I have all my books in my room, so I have them right on hand if we need to talk about them.
The Shrine of Skaven.
Pretty much. I told you I'm a really big fluff person because I don't play.
Yeah, I can't imagine not playing. You know? It's just, I suppose it's just, and it's another aspect of the game for me. I suppose, in a way, I don't play Skaven much now because, you know, with the FAQ being 9 pages long and all that rubbish, I just get bored off with people going, you don't say that in your book. Yes, that you've got to consult the Mighty Games Workshop website. that just annoys me. If you want to play a game, you just want to play a game. You don't want to be arguing about rule interpretation.
Yeah, I see that a lot because I sometimes go to the tournaments just to watch on the sidelines, and I think I've literally seen an argument break out over a rule over armor saves. I was like, I'm just going to stay over here.
Yeah, I'd be that guy arguing. I mean, you listen to the podcast, is that one with the high elves? I'll never let that go. Where they go, it dispels wither. And I was like, well, the game's over then, because that's what the spell says. It ends when the game ends.
Oh, jeez. this is why I like games that are more story-based, so I got, like, a more feel for the characters, because you can only say so much on a tabletop, like, oh, this is my plague monk, and he's really special, let me give you his backstory, and the other person's like, aren't we just playing a strategy game? I don't need this exposition.
Boo. Boring person. See, way back when I went to Warhammer World, and you had to write a 2-page story to go with your army. Because it was something silly. It was 2 1,500-point allied armies, and you had to justify your alliance. That one was pretty good. I thought it was very interesting. And Skaven won, more importantly. So, you know. It was Project Moonraker or something it was called. It was a James Bond ripoff. It was awesome, and I know the guy, so he deserved to win, and he was Skaven, so, you know, you can't really fault it.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I'm biased.
No, none of us are. None of us Skaven players.
no biased here at all.
No biased against the stupid man things, you know, it's all cool.
Yeah, that's cool. You seem very light-hearted, at least.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, off
my kind of deception is working. You'll never know. I sent the assassins out.
Yeah. If you got them off Silas, they suck. They're probably lost already. They'd be like, they're in which part of Europe? The islandy bit. Oh, dear me. So, yeah, would you recommend... yeah, forgot which even book I said now.
Uniforms of Chivalry?
Yeah.
I would.
I don't think that's available anymore, is it? Uniforms. They like to do this, releasing a book, and then you can't have it anymore. Ha ha ha.
That's unfortunate, considering that if they let it release a little bit longer, they could probably get more copies sold.
Well, I think they just... What I think they do with these things is I think they put them on the website, put it down as advanced order, and then like guesstimate from there how many they'll sell based on how many you've already pre-ordered, so that they've not got excess mm-hmm. stock. It's just about keeping products off the shelf, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't know. They must sell a lot of books, really. I mean, I went shopping earlier. I went in a bookshop, and they just had like two entire rows, and it was all Warhammer stuff. And I was like, wow, this has come on a lot.
Probably because they have, like, what is it, like 12 fantasy armies and like 10 40k armies, and each individual one will have its own fluff plus novels.
Yeah, well, the NIDs have just come out, haven't they? And I got the email off Black Library saying, hey, why don't you buy the Tyranids e-bundle, 11 books? And I was like, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even realize I'd done that many.
Yeah.
So.
Like the Horus Heresy series, my dad has like 20 of them, and he comes home with a new one every month, and I'm like, where are you getting these?
Yeah, I was like that for a little while. The Horus Heresy crack, it's like cocaine. they just keep drilling them out. I think that they realize that people like it, so they just go, oh, we'll give you another short story every couple of weeks. And they just keep feeding them out. I mean, I wonder if that's on the e-bundles. I wonder how many books the Horus Heresy is up to.
Probably, like, I think there's over, like, 25 books, not including e-books, like, because I know there's some of them that you can only get online,
right.
Or sometimes only audiobooks.
You can buy it now as a bundle, 23 novels and 28 short stories.
Jeez.
That's, they're just going to keep rolling them out. Whatever they sell, it's just going to keep, well, we'll do more stories like this, you know.
Yeah, I wish they'd do that for Skaven.
Yeah, well, you know, they've done it for the Nick. Come on, where's the fantasy love? let's have a look. What have they got? We've got the Gotrex and Phoenix.
Then Yorika got her own spinoff, which was actually really good.
Hmm.
Then, what was it? They're doing a lot of character-based ones. Like, forgot his name. I think his name's, like, Sigvald. He's, like, a Slaanesh champion. Got his own book.
Oh, yeah.
Valkia the Bloody for Khorne got her own book. The Death Messenger series was really good, too. I'm trying to think of all the ones I remember. Didn't Nagash get, like, his own book once?
Yeah, well, they've just released his trilogy, haven't they? I've just scrolled past it. I've just seen it on a page somewhere. Yeah, it was the Xmas Rising. The Rise of Nagash, 3 books.
Hmm.
So, £20.
I wonder if they're going to have a part in there where they mention the Skaven giving what's-his-face the sword. I forgot the guy's name, I'm sorry.
it's cool. Yeah, well, we've got to, aren't we? We're in the last one, aren't we? I'm pretty sure in the topic description for the last one, Nagash Immortal, it mentioned Skaven anyway, so... Because it is kind of us that go, no, we really should just finish him off for a bit. Get him out of the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I quite like all the books and the stories. Like I said, I read all the fluff in the army books. I like to see how they're evolving and changing things. I mean, I've said on the other one that the Slaan are being manipulated by skinks because the skinks are just having a paddy and throwing everything out of proportion because... You know, the Slaan doesn't listen otherwise. It's like, yeah, we're not bothered, dude. Chillax, man. And Skink's going, yeah, we only built that last month, and they've destroyed it again.
It's actually really interesting to see how lizard men are being taken in the second Thankful book, so that's always fun.
Second Thanquil book.
The Second Thanquil, Temple of the Serpent.
I don't think I've read that one.
Oh, that one's really good too. They're all so good.
Temple.
The third one is heartbreaking though.
Why does he die?
No, I can't spoil it, but it made me cry reading the third book.
You cried over Skaven?
No, it wasn't over Skaven. It was over one of the non-Skaven protagonists.
Oh, well, they were bound to die, to be fair, if they weren't Skaven and they were in the Skaven book.
Skaven are bound to die and it's a Skaven book.
That's just because Skaven are that way. Look, reading a book with Skaven is like reading Game of Thrones, right? You never know who you should like because they're all going to die.
Like, well, I can't wait to read this character for only about 5 more pages before his superior kills him off.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's so awesome. Oh, he's dead.
Yeah. The only ones that won't do that are the really important model-based characters in the council.
Yeah. I just want Thanquil to die. I don't know why. I've developed this seething hatred for him.
Well, he's not going to die for a while, because if you're going based off of the fact that the books happen between two of the Slayer books, and then Thanquil lives to, like, Elf Slayer... He's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, that's a depression.
No.
They could always redcon it. They make it what they want. You know what Games Workshop's like. It's like, you know, those books we've written, we've just voided them.
I would not appreciate that on a personal level.
Storm of Chaos all over again. Woo!
I would be so angry if they retcon Skaven, because I'm already so set in... the lore that if I have to relearn everything, I'm not going to be happy.
dear me. Right, so if you were a complete noob to reading Skaven books, which one would you recommend? Which do you think deals with the fundamentals the most?
Probably Skaven Slayer.
Yeah, probably, isn't it? It's the introduction one.
Yeah, because I know it was purposely written, because for the Skavenblight Gazette, I read the interview they had with William King, and he said that he was either asked or he planned to just write about the 4 basic clans so, you know, people could get an idea of what's going on, and it's a very good way to learn about mannerisms of Skaven and just get a little feel for the different types of characters and the interactions you'll probably see later on, so... And that was personally my first book that got me into Skaven.
Yeah, I think, well, I got into Skaven before Skaven Slayer, I think, was even published. Back in 3rd edition, by accident, I started playing Skaven. I mean, I think I've already said this on a podcast, unless it's been cut, but a guy left his Skaven at the gaming club and sodded off. And declared that he wasn't doing Warhammer anymore, and the guy who ran the gaming club said, give me 100 quid, you can have them. And that were it. And that were way back when. They were like role-play books back then. There were loads of fluff in the Skaven books then. So, you know, and I've even got the really, really old White Dwarf with... Oh, I can't remember what his name. The guy who wrote that Skaven book, I think, or the book after it, explaining all his views on Skaven and how he thinks Skaven should work and how he thinks they should look.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to find the White Dwarf out. He's here somewhere, covered under all my crap.
Skaven. What was I going to say? Oh, I lost my train of thought. Lovely. No, it's gone. I have no idea what I was just thinking about.
Warpstone.
It's that Warpstone snuff, you know. Yeah, just messes with your brain after a while. I think there was a fluff, and I think it was Elf Slayer when Gotrek and Felix were still amazed that Thanquil was alive, and they said he had a gaping hole where his nose should be because he used so much snuff.
Well, he is a bit of a crackhead, isn't he? So...
I think that's one of the old model rules. Rules, isn't it, that he has an addiction?
Yeah. Well, it even still affects him on There's something about it. If he rolls a 1, so it's bad. I think he can re-roll it because he's that much of a crack addict. He's more used to it.
Yeah. The amount he ingests compared to other seers is really disturbing.
But he's still going, so it can't be that bad.
Well, supposedly, stuff like Warpstone Snow helps the council members stay alive.
See, I took that. I did this little campaigny thing with people, and I said I wanted to do an undead seer on basis of Warpstone keeps them alive, because if you're old enough and you've read enough, it all ties in, because all the council members are obsessed with Warpstone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the defining point between the undead and the Skaven is a massive mound of Wormstone, or whatever the vampires call it, and the Skaven call it Warpstone. And that is when they decide that they want it, and they don't care, they're going to get it.
Yeah.
So, I think it's all that, and I think, you know, it's like, well, Nagash wants it, and Nagash lives forever. And, mm-hmm. and the council want it really badly, and they have been around for, well, nearly forever. So, it's like that. But everyone were like, oh, you can't have an undead Skaven. Oh! And I was like, do you guys not read fluff? It's just like, it's really annoying when you play people and they've got no appreciation for the stories and the history behind the characters.
Yeah, that's frustrating. I think you could totally pull that off, especially if you decided to use Clan Morkin as his like base army, because they would just adore him for, you know, being undead, and their whole thing is being dead themed. And as long as he wasn't like, he could be a very plausible seer as he wasn't doing anything that the Order of the Seers would see as heretical. So.
Yeah, well, he could just be a really old, battered seer that he's just hobbling along still.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if the Seer Lord can live for, like, ever, then I don't see why not. I mean, you have a really well-thought-out idea, and it fits the fluff, so why not?
Because no one leads fluff, apparently. They're all like, oh, vampires are a different army to Skaven. You can't have undead in the Skaven army. And he's like, oh, chill out, man. Chill out.
They act like he was like a Skaven that just loved humans and wanted to make peace between everybody.
Yeah.
That would be more unrealistic.
Unless it was a subtle ploy to poison them all.
Yeah, in which case that would be very realistic.
Soon changes, doesn't it, with Skaven? I love you guys, why did we fight? Here, drink all this beer.
No, it's supposed to be
green beer. No, oh, it's not mold.
It's like, don't worry, the assassins are here to protect us.
It's for when we get too drunk that we can't stand up.
Oh, yeah. You know, if Clan Eshin can have their own sorcerers, I don't see why not. You can't have yours here.
It really annoyed me because, it's like I said, you either seem to get gamers or people who read the books. And I seem to be one of the very few that is in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't read that much because I found quite a few of it repetitive. That being said, I've recently discovered that loads of it was written by that C.L. Werner. And that's why it's repetitive, based on what you've said as well, saying that Black Library says, oh, no, you've got to be samey.
Yeah, they're really big on, like, if you have a non-human character, they want you to have human characters. So it's like, oh, we need the readers, to relate to somebody. We can't just have non-human characters. We'll be right back.
turn my weary eyes far.